This is Audible.
Recorded Books presents an unabridged recording of We'll Always Have Summer by Jenny Han, narrated by Jessica Almacy and directed by Drew Sussman.
On Wednesday nights when I was little, my mom and I would watch old musicals. It was our thing. Sometimes my dad or Stephen would wander in and watch for a bit, but it was pretty much always my mother and me on the couch with a blanket and a bowl of sweet and salty popcorn every Wednesday. We watched The Music Man, West Side Story, Meet Me in St. Louis, all of which I liked. Singin' in the Rain, which I really liked. But I loved none of them the way I loved Bye Bye Birdie. Of all the musicals, Bye Bye Birdie was my number one favorite. I watched it again and again, as many times as my mother could stand. Just like Kim McAfee before me, I wanted to wear mascara and lipstick and heels and have that happy grown-up female feeling. I wanted to hear boys whistle and know it was for me. I wanted to grow up and be just like Kim, because she got to have all of those things. And after, when it was bedtime, I would sing, "We love you, Conrad, oh yes we do. We love you, Conrad, and we'll be true," into the bathroom mirror with a mouthful of toothpaste. I would sing my 8, 9, 10-year-old heart out. But I wasn't singing to Conrad Birdie. I was singing to my Conrad. Conrad Beck Fisher, the boy of my preteen dreams. I've only ever loved two boys, both of them with the last name Fisher. Conrad was first, and I loved him in a way that you can really only do the first time around. It's the kind of love that doesn't know better and doesn't want to. It's dizzy and foolish and fierce. That kind of love is really a one-time-only thing. And then there was Jeremiah. When I looked at Jeremiah, I saw past, present, and future. He didn't just know the girl I used to be. He knew the right now me. And he loved me anyway. My two great loves. I think I always knew I would be Belly Fisher one day. I just didn't know it was going to happen like this. Chapter 1. When it's finals week and you've been studying for 5 hours straight, you need three things to get you through the night. The biggest Slurpee you can find, half cherry, half Coke. Pajama pants, the kind that have been washed so many times they are tissue paper thin. And finally, dance breaks. Lots of dance breaks. When your eyes start to close and all you want is your bed, dance breaks will get you through. It was 4 in the morning, and I was studying for the last final of my freshman year at Finch University. I was camped out in my dorm library with my new best friend, Annika Johnson, and my old best friend, Taylor Jewell. Summer vacation was so close, I could almost taste it. Just 5 more days. I'd been counting down since April. "Quiz me," Taylor commanded, her voice scratchy. I opened my notebook to a random page. "Define anima versus animus." Taylor chewed on her lower lip. "Give me a hint." Think Latin," I said. "I didn't take Latin. Is there going to be Latin on this exam?" "No, I was just trying to give you a hint. Because in Latin, boys' names end in U-S, and girls' names end in A, and anima is feminine archetype, and animus is masculine archetype. Get it?" She let out a big sigh. "No, I'm probably going to fail." Looking up from her notebook, Annika said, Maybe if you stopped texting and started studying, you wouldn't. Taylor glared at her. I'm helping my big sister plan our end-of-year breakfast, so I have to be on call tonight. On call? Annika looked amused. Like a doctor? Yes, just like a doctor, Taylor snapped. So will it be pancakes or waffles? French toast, thank you very much. The three of us were all taking the same freshman psych class, and Taylor's and my exam was tomorrow. Annika's was the day after. Annika was my closest friend at school besides Taylor. Seeing as how Taylor was competitive by nature, it was a friendship that she was more than a little jealous of, not that she'd ever in a million years admit it. My friendship with Annika was different from my friendship with Taylor. Annika was laid back and easy to be with. She wasn't quick to judge. More than all that, though, she gave me the space to be different. She hadn't known me my whole life, so she had no expectations or preconceptions. There was freedom in that. And she wasn't like any of my friends back home. She was from New York, and her father was a jazz musician, and her mother was a writer. A couple of hours later, the sun was rising and casting the room in a bluish light, and Taylor's head was down, while Annika was staring off into space like a zombie. I rolled up two paper balls in my lap and threw them at my two friends. Dance break! I sang out as I pressed play on my computer. I did a little shimmy in my chair. Annika glared at me. Why are you so chipper? Because, I said, clapping my hands together, in just a few hours, it will all be over. My exam wasn't until 1 p.m, so my plan was to go back to my room and sleep for a couple of hours, then wake up with time to spare and study some more. I overslept, but I still managed to get another hour of studying in. I didn't have time to go to the dining hall for breakfast, so I just drank a cherry Coke from the vending machine. The test was as hard as we had expected, but I was pretty sure I would get at least a B. Taylor was pretty sure she hadn't failed, which was good. Both of us were too tired to celebrate after, so we just high-fived and went our separate ways. I headed back to my dorm room, ready to pass out until at least dinner time, and when I opened the door, there was Jeremiah, asleep in my bed. He looked like a little boy when he slept, even with the stubble. He was stretched out on top of my comforter, his feet hanging over the edge of the bed, my stuffed polar bear hugged to his chest. I took off my shoes and crawled into my twin, extra-long bed next to him. He stirred, opened his eyes, and said,
Hi.
Hi, I said.
How'd it go?
Pretty good.
Good.
He let go of Junior Mint and hugged me to him.
I brought you the other half of my sub from lunch.
You're sweet, I said, burrowing my head in his shoulder. He kissed my hair.
I can't have my girls skipping meals left and right.
It was just breakfast, I said. As an afterthought, I added, and lunch.
Do you want my sub now? It's in my book bag.
Now that I thought about it, I was hungry, but I was also sleepy. Maybe a little later, I said, closing my eyes. Then he fell back to sleep, and I fell asleep, too. When I woke up, it was dark out. Junior Mint was on the floor, and Jeremiah's arms were around me. He was still asleep. We had started dating right before I began senior year of high school. Dating didn't feel like the right word for it. We were just together. It all happened so easily and so quickly that it felt like it had always been that way. One minute we were friends, then we were kissing, and then the next thing I knew, I was applying to the same college as him. I told myself and everyone else, including him, including my mother especially, that it was a good school, that it was only a few hours from home, and it made sense to apply there, that I was keeping my options open. All of those things were true. But truest of all was that I just wanted to be near him. I wanted him for all seasons, not just summer. Now here we were, lying next to each other in my dorm room bed. He was a sophomore, and I was finishing up my freshman year. It was crazy how far we had come. We'd known each other our whole lives, and in some ways, it felt like a big surprise. In other ways, it felt inevitable. Chapter 2. Jeremiah's fraternity was throwing an end-of-year party. In less than a week, we would all go home for the summer, and we wouldn't be back at Finch until the end of August. I had always loved summertime best of all, but now that I was finally going home, somehow it felt a little bittersweet. I was used to meeting Jeremiah in the dining hall for breakfast every morning and doing my laundry with him at his frat house late at night. He was good at folding my t-shirts. This summer, he would be interning at his dad's company again, and I was going to waitress at a family restaurant called Bear's, the same as I did last summer. Our plan was to meet at the summer house and cousins as often as we could. Last summer, we hadn't made it out there once. We'd both been so busy with our jobs. I took every shift I could to save money for school. All the while, I felt a little hollow inside, my first summer away from cousins. There were a few lightning bugs out. It was just getting dark, and it wasn't too hot of a night. I was wearing heels, which was stupid, since on a last-minute impulse, I'd walked instead of taking the bus. I just figured it was the last time for a long time I'd walk across campus on a nice night like this. I'd invited Annika and our friend Shay to come with me, but Annika had a party with her dance team, and Shay was already done with finals and had flown home to Texas. Taylor's sorority was having a mixer, so she wasn't coming either. It was just me and my sore feet. I had texted Jeremiah to tell him I was on my way and that I was walking, so it would take me a little while. I had to keep stopping to adjust my shoes because they were cutting into the backs of my feet. Heels were dumb, I decided. Halfway there, I saw him sitting on my favorite bench. He stood up when he saw me. "Surprise! You didn't have to meet me," I said, feeling very happy he had. I sat down on the bench. "You look hot," he said. Even now, after being boyfriend and girlfriend for a whole 2 years, I still blushed a little when he said things like that. "Thanks," I said. I was wearing a sundress that I had borrowed from Annika. It was white, with little blue flowers and ruffly straps.
"That dress reminds me of the Sound of Music, but in a hot way."
"Thanks," I said again.
Did the dress make me look like Fraulein Maria? I wondered.
That didn't sound like a good thing. I smoothed down the straps a little. A couple of guys I didn't recognize stopped and said hi to Jeremiah, but I stayed put on the bench so I could rest my feet. When they were gone, he said, "Ready?" I groaned. "My feet are killing me. Heels are dumb." Jeremiah stooped down low and said, "Hop on, girl." Giggling, I climbed on his back. I always giggled when he called me girl. I couldn't help it. It was funny. He hoisted me up, and I put my arms around his neck.
"Is your dad coming on Monday?"
Jeremiah asked as we crossed the main lawn.
"Yeah, you're gonna help, right?"
"Come on now, I'm carrying you across campus. I have to help you move, too?"
I swatted him on the head, and he ducked.
"Okay, okay," he said.
Then I blew a raspberry on his neck, and he yelped like a little girl. I laughed the whole way there. Chapter 3. At Jeremiah's fraternity house, the doors were wide open and people were hanging out on the front lawn. Multicolored Christmas lights were haphazardly strung all over the place, on the mailbox, the front porch, even along the edge of the walkway. They had three inflatable kiddie pools set up that people were lounging in like they were in hot tubs. Guys were running around with super soakers and spraying beer into each other's mouths. Some of the girls were in their bikinis. I hopped off Jeremiah's back and took my shoes off in the grass.
"The pledges did a nice job with this," Jeremiah said, nodding appreciatively at the kiddie pools. "Did you bring your suit?"
I shook my head.
"Want me to see if one of the girls has an extra?"
he offered. Quickly, I said, "No thanks." I knew Jeremiah's fraternity brothers from hanging out at the house, but I didn't know the girls very well. Most of them were from Zeta Phi, Jeremiah's fraternity's sister sorority. That meant they had mixers and parties together, that kind of thing. Jeremiah had wanted me to rush Zeta Phi, but I'd said no. I told him it was because I couldn't afford the fees and paying extra to live in a sorority house. But it was really more that I was hoping to be friends with all kinds of girls, not just the ones I'd meet in a sorority. I wanted a broader college experience, like my mother was always saying. According to Taylor, Zeta Phi was for party girls and sluts, as opposed to her sorority, which was allegedly classier and more exclusive. And way more focused on community service, she'd added as an afterthought. Girls kept coming up and hugging Jeremiah. They said hi to me, and I said hi back. Then I went upstairs to put my bag in Jeremiah's room. On my way downstairs, I saw her. Lacey Barone, wearing skinny jeans and a silky tank top and patent leather red heels that probably brought her up to 5'4 at most, talking to Jeremiah. Lacey was the social chair of Zeta Phi, and she was a junior, a year older than Jer, 2 years older than me. Her hair was dark brown, cut in a swishy bob, and she was petite. She was, by anybody's standards, hot. According to Taylor, she had a thing for Jeremiah. I told Taylor it didn't bother me one bit, and I meant it. Why should I care? Of course girls would like Jeremiah. He was the kind of boy girls liked. But even a girl as pretty as Lacey didn't have anything on us. We were a couple years and years in the making. I knew him better than anyone. The same as he knew me, and I knew Jer would never look at another girl. Jeremiah saw me then, and he waved at me to come over. I walked up to them and said, "Hey, Lacey."
"Hey,"
she said. Pulling me toward him, Jeremiah said,
"Lacey's gonna study abroad in Paris this fall."
To Lacey, he said,
"We want to go backpacking in Europe next summer."
Sipping her beer, she said, "That's cool. Which countries?"
"We're definitely going to France," Jeremiah said. "Belly speaks really fluent French."
"I actually don't," I told her, embarrassed. "I just took it in high school." Lacey said, "Oh, I'm horrible too. I really just want to go and eat lots of cheese and chocolate." She had a voice that was surprisingly husky for someone so small. I wondered if she smoked. She smiled at me and I thought, Taylor was wrong about her. She was a nice girl. When she left a few minutes later to get a drink, I said, "She's nice." Jeremiah shrugged and said,
"Yeah, she's cool. Want me to get you a drink?"
"Sure," I said. He led me by the shoulders and planted me on the couch.
"You sit right here. Don't move a muscle. I'll be right back."
I watched him make his way through the crowd. Feeling proud, I could call him mine. My boyfriend. My Jeremiah. The first boy I had ever fallen asleep next to. The first boy I ever told about the time I accidentally walked in on my parents doing it when I was 8. The first boy to go out and buy me my doll because my cramps were so bad. The first boy to paint my toenails.
to hold my hair back when I threw up that time I got really drunk in front of all his friends. The first boy to write me a love note on the whiteboard hanging outside my dorm room.
You are the milk to my shake. Forever and ever. Love, Jay.
He was the first boy I ever kissed. He was my best friend. More and more, I understood. This was the way it was supposed to be. He was the one. My one. Chapter 4. It was later that night. We were dancing. I had my arms around Jeremiah's neck, and the music was pulsing around us. I felt flushed and a buzz from the dancing and from the alcohol. The room was packed with people, but when Jer looked at me, there was no one else, just me and him. He reached down and tucked a strand of hair behind my ear. He said something I couldn't hear. "What?" I yelled. He yelled, "Don't ever cut your hair, okay?" "I have to. I'd look like a witch." Jeremiah tapped his ear and said, "I can't hear you." "Witch!" I shook my hair around my face for emphasis and mimed stirring a cauldron and cackling.
"I like you, witchy," he said in my ear. "How about just trims?"
I shouted, "I promise not to cut my hair short if you promise to give up your beard dream." He'd been talking about growing a beard ever since Thanksgiving, when some of his high school friends got a contest going to see who could grow it the longest. I'd told him no way. It reminded me too much of my dad.
"I'll consider it," he said, kissing me.
He tasted like beer, and I probably did too. Then Jeremiah's frat brother, Tom, also known as Red Bird for reasons unknown to me, spotted us, and he came charging at Jeremiah like a bull. He was wearing his underwear and carrying a water bottle. And they weren't boxers, they were tidy whiteys.
Break it up," he shouted.
They started messing around, and when Jeremiah got Tom in a headlock, Tom's water bottle of beer spilled all over me and Annika's dress.
Sorry, he mumbled.
When Tom was really drunk, he said everything twice. "It's okay," I said, wringing out the skirt and trying not to look at the lower half of his body. I left to go clean my dress in the bathroom, but there was a long line, so I went to the kitchen. People were doing body shots on the kitchen table. Jeremiah's frat brother Luke was licking salt out of a red-haired girl's belly button.
"Isabel,"
he said, looking up. "Hey, Luke," I said. Then I spotted some girl throwing up in the sink, and I booked it out of there. I headed to the upstairs bathroom. At the top of the staircase, I squeezed past a guy and a girl making out, and I accidentally stepped on the guy's hand. "I'm so sorry," I said. But he didn't seem to notice either way, since he had his other hand up the girl's shirt. When I finally made it to the bathroom, I locked the door behind me and let out a little sigh of relief. This party was even wilder than usual. I guessed with the end of year upon us and finals over, everybody was letting loose. I was kind of glad Annika hadn't been able to come. It wouldn't be her scene. Not that it was mine, either. I dabbed liquid soap onto the wet marks and crossed my fingers it wouldn't stain. Someone tried to open the door and I called out, "Just a sec!" As I stood there, dabbing at the dress, I heard girls on the other side talking. I wasn't really paying attention until I heard Lacey's voice. I heard her say, "He looks hot tonight, right?" Another voice said, "He always looks hot." She was slurring as she said, "Hell yeah, he does." The other girl said, "I'm so jealous you got to hook up with him." In a sing-song voice, Lacey said, "Whatever happens in Cabo, stays in Cabo."
I felt dizzy all of a sudden. I leaned my back against the bathroom door to steady myself. There was no way she was talking about Jeremiah. No way. Someone banged on the door, and I jumped. Without thinking, I opened it. Lacey's hand flew to her mouth when she saw me. The look on her face was like a punch in the stomach. I felt physical pain. I could hear the other girls' sharp intakes of breath, but it all felt far away. I felt like I was sleepwalking as I moved past her and the girls and down the hallway. I couldn't believe it. It couldn't be true. Not my Jer. I went to his room and locked the door behind me. I sat on his bed, knees curled into my chest, going over it in my head. Whatever happens in Cabo stays in Cabo. The look on Lacey's face, the way the other girls gasped, it played in my head like a movie over and over. The two of them talking tonight, the way he'd shrugged when I said she was nice. I had to know for sure. I had to hear it from Jeremiah. I left his room and went looking for him. As I searched, I could feel the shock turning into anger. I pushed my way through the crowd. One drunk girl slurred, "Hey!" when I stepped on her foot, but I didn't stop to say, "Excuse me." I finally found him, standing around outside drinking beer with his frat buddies. From the open door, I said, "I need to talk to you."
"Just a sec, Bells," he said.
"No. Now." The guys all started cracking up and going,
"Ooh, somebody's in trouble. Fisher's so whipped."
I waited. Jeremiah must have seen something in my eyes, because he followed me inside, up the stairs, and into his bedroom. I shut the door behind me.
"What's going on?"
he asked me, looking all concerned. I practically spat the words out. "Did you hook up with Lacey Barone during spring break?" Jeremiah's face turned white.
"What?
Did you hook up with her?"
"Belly,
I knew it," I whispered. "I knew it." Even though I didn't know it. Not really. I didn't know anything.
"Hold on. Just hold on.
Hold on!" I screamed. "Oh my God, Jer. Oh my God." I sank onto the floor. My legs couldn't even hold me up. Jeremiah kneeled down beside me and tried to help me up, but I slapped his hands away. "Don't touch me." He got down on the floor next to me, his head hanging between his knees.
"Belly, it was when we were on that break, when we were broken up."
I stared at him. Our so-called breakup had lasted all of a week. It wasn't even a real breakup. Not for me. I always assumed we would get back together. I had cried the whole week, while he had been in Cabo kissing Lacey Barone. "You knew we weren't really broken up. You knew it wasn't real." Miserably, he said,
"How was I supposed to know that?
If I knew it, you should have known it." He swallowed, and his Adam's apple bobbed up and down.
"Lacey kept following me around all week. She wouldn't leave me alone. I swear to you, I didn't want to hook up with her. It just happened."
His voice trailed off. I felt so dirty inside hearing him say that. Just disgusted. I didn't want to think about the two of them. Didn't want to picture it. "Be quiet," I said. "I don't want to hear it."
"It was a mistake."
"A mistake? You call that a mistake? A mistake is when you left my shower shoes in the shower and they got all mildewy and I had to throw them out. That's a mistake, you jerk." I burst into tears. He didn't say anything. He just sat there and took it, his head hanging down. "I don't even know who you are anymore." My stomach lurched. "I think I'm going to be sick." Jeremiah got me the wastebasket by his bed, and I threw up, heaving and crying. He tried to rub my back, but I jerked away from him.
"Don't touch me," I mumbled, wiping my mouth with the back of my arm.
It didn't make sense. None of it.
This wasn't the Jeremiah I knew. My Jeremiah would never hurt me like this. He would never so much as look at another girl. My Jeremiah was true and strong and steady. I didn't know who this person was.
I'm sorry,
he said.
I'm really sorry.
Jeremiah was crying now, too. Good, I thought. Hurt, like you've hurt me.
I want to be totally honest with you, Belly. I don't want any more secrets.
He really broke down then, crying hard. I went totally still.
We had sex.
Before I knew it, my hand was striking his face. I slapped him as hard as I could. I wasn't even thinking. I was just doing. My hand left a splotchy red imprint on his right cheek. We stared at each other. I couldn't believe I had hit him, and neither could he. The shock was just beginning to register on his face, and I probably had the same look on mine. I had never hit anyone before. Rubbing his cheek, he said,
I'm so sorry.
I cried harder. I had pictured them hooking up, making out. I hadn't even considered sex. I was so stupid. He said,
It didn't mean anything. I swear to you, it didn't.
He tried to touch my arm, and I flinched. Wiping my cheeks, I said, Maybe to you sex doesn't mean anything, but it means something to me, and you knew that. You've ruined everything. I'll never trust you again. He tried to pull me toward him, but I pushed him away. Desperately, he said, I'm telling you, the thing with Lacey didn't mean anything. It means something to me, and it obviously meant something to her. I'm not in love with her, he cried out. I'm in love with you. Jeremiah crawled over to where I was. He put his arms around my knees. Don't leave, he begged. Please don't leave. I tried to shake him off, but he was strong. He clung to me like I was a raft and he was at sea.
I love you so much, he said, his whole body shaking. It's always been you, Belly.
I wanted to keep screaming and crying and somehow find a way out of this. But I didn't see a way. Looking down at him, I felt like I was made of stone. He had never disappointed me before. For him to do it now made it that much harder, because I hadn't seen it coming. It was hard to believe that just a few short hours ago, he'd carried me across campus on his back, and I'd loved him more than ever. We can't get it back, I said, and I said it to hurt him. What we were, it's gone. We lost it tonight. Desperately, he said, Yes, we can. I know we can. I shook my head. The tears had started again, but I didn't want to cry anymore, especially not in front of him or with him. I didn't want to feel sad. I didn't want to feel anything. I wiped my face again and stood up. I'm leaving. He rose to his feet unsteadily. Wait! I pushed past him and grabbed my bag from his bed. Then I was out the door, running down the stairs and outside. I ran all the way to the bus stop, my bag banging against my shoulder, my heels clacking against the pavement. I almost tripped and fell, but I made it. I caught the bus just as the last person was getting on, and we drove off. I didn't look back to see if Jeremiah had followed me. My roommate Jillian had gone home for the summer earlier that day, so at least I had the room to myself and could cry alone. Jeremiah kept calling and texting, so I turned my phone off. But before I went to bed, I turned it back on again so I could see what he wrote me.
I'm so ashamed of myself. Please talk to me. I love you, and I always will.
I cried harder.
Chapter 5. When we broke up in April, it really did come out of nowhere. Yes, we'd had little fights here and there, but you could hardly even call them fights. Like, there was this time Shay was having a party at her godmother's country house. She invited a ton of people, and she said I could bring Jeremiah, too. We were gonna get dressed up and dance outside all night long. We'd all just crash there for the weekend, Shay said. It would be a blast. I was just happy to be included. I told Jeremiah about it, and he said he had an intramural soccer game, but I should go anyway. I said, can't you just miss it? It's not like it's a real game. It was a bitchy thing to say, but I said it and I meant it. This was our first fight. Not a real fight, not like yelling or anything, but he was mad and so was I. We always hung out with his friends. In a way, it made sense. He already had them and I was still forming mine. It took time to get close to people, and with me at his frat house all the time, the girls on my hall were bonding without me. I felt like I had given something up without even realizing it. When Shay invited me, that meant a lot, and I wanted it to mean something to Jer, too. And there were other things, too, that annoyed me. Things I'd never known about Jeremiah, things I couldn't have known from only seeing him in the summer at the beach house. Like how obnoxious he was when he smoked weed with his sweet mates and they ate pineapple and ham pizza and listened to Gangsta's Paradise by Coolio and they would laugh for, like, an hour. Also, his seasonal allergies. I'd never seen him in the springtime, so I didn't know he had them. He called me sneezing like crazy, all stuffed up and pitiful. "Can you come over and hang out with me?" he asked, blowing his nose. "And could you bring more Kleenex and orange juice?" I bit my lip to keep from saying, "You have allergies, not swine flu." I'd gone over to his frat house the day before. He and his roommate played video games while I did my homework. Then we watched a kung fu movie and ordered Indian food, even though I didn't really like to eat Indian food because it gave me an upset stomach after. Jeremiah said that when his allergies got really bad, Indian food was the only thing that would make him feel better. I ate naan and rice and felt pissed while Jeremiah scarfed down chicken tikka masala and watched his movie. He could be really oblivious sometimes, and I had to wonder if it was on purpose. "I really want to come over, but I have a paper that's due tomorrow," I said, trying to sound conflicted about it. "So I probably shouldn't. Sorry."
"Well, I guess I could go there," he said. "I'll take a ton of Benadryl and sleep while you write. Then maybe we can order Indian food again."
"Yeah," I said sourly. "We could do that. At least I wouldn't have to take the bus. But I would have to go to the hall bathroom and get a roll of toilet paper, because Jillian would be pissed if Jeremiah used all her Kleenex again." I didn't know then that all of that was setting the stage for our first real fight. We had one of those screaming and crying kind of fights, the kind I promised myself I would never have. I'd heard Jillian have them over the phone, girls on my hall, Taylor. I never thought it would be me. I thought Jeremiah and I understood each other too well, had known each other too long for that kind of fight. A fight is like a fire. You think you have it under control. You think you can stop it whenever you want. But before you know it, it's a living, breathing thing, and there's no controlling it. And you were a fool to think you could. At the last minute, Jeremiah and his fraternity brothers decided to go to Cabo over spring break. They'd found some insane deal on the internet. I was already planning on going home over the break. My mom and I were going to go into the city and watch a ballet, and Stephen would be at home, too. So I wanted to be at home. I really did. But as I watched Jeremiah book his trip, I felt more and more resentful. He was supposed to be going home, too. Now that Conrad was in California, Mr. Fisher was pretty much alone. Jeremiah had said he wanted to go and spend some time with him, maybe visit Susanna's grave together. We'd also talked about going to Cousins for a couple of days. Jeremiah knew how much I wanted to go to Cousins. He knew how much it meant to me. I'd done more growing up in that house than I had in my own. And with Susanna gone, it felt even more important that we kept going back. Now he was going to Cabo. Without me. "Do you really think you should be going to Cabo?" I asked him. He was sitting at his desk, hunched over the computer and typing away. I was sitting on his bed. He looked up, surprised. "It's too good of a deal to pass up. Besides, all my brothers are going. I can't miss out."
"Yeah, but I thought you were going to go home and hang out with your dad."
"I can do that over summer break." "Summer is still months away." I crossed my arms, then uncrossed them. Jeremiah frowned.
"What's this about? Are you worried about me going on spring break without you?"
I could feel my cheeks redden. "No! You can go wherever you want. I don't care. I just think that it would be nice if you spent some time with your dad. And your mom's headstone is up. I thought you wanted to go see it."
"Yeah, I do. But I can do all that after school's out. You can come with me."
He peered at me.
"Are you jealous?"
"No!" He was grinning now.
"Worried about all the wet t-shirt contests?"
"No!" I hated that he was making this into a joke. It was infuriating, being the only one who was mad.
"If you're so worried, then just come with us. It'll be fun."
He did not say, "If you are worried, you shouldn't be." He said, "If you are worried, you should come with us." I knew he didn't mean it that way, but it still bothered me. "You know I can't afford it. Besides, I don't want to go to Cabo with you and your bros. I'm not going to go and be the only girlfriend and drag down your party."
"You wouldn't be. Josh's girlfriend Allison is going to be there," Jeremiah said.
So Allison had been invited, and not me. I sat up straight. "Allison's going with you guys?"
"It's not like that. Allison's going with her sorority. They're getting a bunch of rooms at the same resort as us. That's how we found out about the deal. But it's not like we'll be hanging out with them all the time. We're gonna do guy stuff, like off-road racing in the desert, rent some ATVs, go rappelling, stuff like that."
I stared at him. "So while you race around with your buddies in the desert, you want me to hang out with a bunch of girls I don't know?" He rolled his eyes.
"You know, Allison. You guys were beer pong partners in our house tournament."
"Whatever. I'm not going to Cabo. I'm going home. My mom misses me." What I didn't say was, "Your dad misses you, too." When Jeremiah just shrugged, like, "Have it your way," I thought, "Oh, what the hell. I'll say it. Your dad misses you, too."
"Oh, my God. Belly, just admit that this isn't about my dad. You're paranoid about me going on spring break without you. Why don't you admit that you didn't want me to go in the first place, then?"
He hesitated. I saw him hesitate.
"Fine. Yeah, I wouldn't mind if this was just a guy's trip."
Standing up, I said, "Well, it sounds like there will be plenty of girls there. Have fun with the Zetas." Now his neck started to turn a dull red.
"If you don't trust me by now, I don't know what to tell you. I've never done anything to make you question me. And Belly, I really don't need you guilt-tripping me about my dad."
I started putting my shoes on, and I was so mad, my hands shook as I tried to lace up my sneakers. "I can't even believe how selfish you are."
"Me? I'm the selfish one now."
He shook his head, his lips tight. He opened his mouth like he was going to say something, but then he closed it. "Yes, you are definitely the selfish one in this relationship. It's always about you, your friends, your stupid fraternity. Have I told you I think your fraternity is stupid? Because I do." In a low voice, he said,
"What's so stupid about it?"
"It's just a bunch of entitled rich guys spending their parents' money, cheating on tests with your test bank, going to class wasted." Looking hurt, he said,
"We're not all like that. I didn't mean you."
"Yeah, you did."
"What? Just because I'm not pre-med, that makes me this lazy frat guy?"
"Don't put your inferiority complex on me," I said. I said it without thinking. It was something I had thought before, but never voiced. Conrad was the one who was pre-med.
Conrad was the one at Stanford, working a part-time job at a lab. Jeremiah was the one who told people he majored in beerology. He stared. What the hell does that mean? Inferiority complex? Forget it, I said. Too late. I could see things had gone farther than I had intended. I wanted to take it all back.
If you think I'm so stupid and selfish and wasteful, why are you even with me?
Before I could answer, before I could say, you're not stupid or selfish or wasteful, before I could end the fight, Jeremiah said, fuck it. I won't waste your time anymore. Let's end it now. And I said, fine. I grabbed my book bag, but I didn't leave right away. I was waiting for him to stop me. But he didn't. I cried the whole way home. I couldn't believe that we had broken up. It didn't feel real. I expected Jeremiah to call me that night. It was a Friday. He left for Cabo on Sunday morning. And he didn't call then, either. My spring break consisted of me moping around the house, eating chips, and crying. Stephen said, chill out. The only reason he hasn't called you is that it's too expensive to make a call from Mexico. You guys will be back together by next week, guaranteed. I was pretty sure he was right. Jeremiah just needed some space. Okay, that was fine. When he got back, I would go to him and tell him how sorry I was, and I would fix things, and it would be like it never happened. Stephen was right. We did get back together a week later. I did go to him and apologize, and he apologized too. I never asked him if anything happened in Cabo. It wouldn't even have occurred to me to wonder. This was a boy who had loved me my whole life, and I was a girl who believed in that love. In that boy. Jer brought me back a shell bracelet. Little white puka shells. It had made me so happy. Because I knew that he had been thinking of me. That he had missed me as much as I had missed him. He knew, like I knew, that it wasn't over between us. That it would never be over. He spent that whole week after spring break in my room, hanging out with me and not his fraternity brothers. It drove my roommate Jillian crazy, but I didn't care. I felt closer to him than ever. I missed him even when he was in class. But now I knew the truth. He bought me that stupid cheap bracelet because he felt guilty. And I was so desperate to make up, I hadn't seen it. Chapter 6. When I closed my eyes, I saw the two of them, together. Kissing in a hot tub. On the beach. In some club. Lacey Barone probably knew tricks and moves I'd never even heard of. But of course she did. I was still a virgin. I'd never had sex before. Not with Jeremiah. Not with anybody. When I was younger, I used to picture my first time with Conrad. It wasn't that I was still waiting for him. It wasn't that at all. I was just waiting for the perfect moment. I wanted it to feel special, to feel exactly right. I'd pictured us finally doing it at the beach house, with the lights off and candles everywhere, so I wouldn't feel shy. I'd pictured how gentle Jeremiah would be, how sweet. Lately, I had been feeling more and more ready. I had thought this summer, the two of us back at Cousins. I thought that would be it. It was humiliating thinking about it now. How naive I'd been. I'd thought he would wait as long as it took for me to be ready. I really believed that. But how could we be together now? When I thought of him with her, Lacey, who was older and sexier and more worldly than I'd ever be, at least in my mind. It hurt so bad it was hard to breathe. The fact that she knew him in a way I didn't yet,
had experienced something with him that I hadn't. That felt like the biggest betrayal of all. A month ago, around the anniversary of his mom's death, we were lying in Jeremiah's twin bed. He rolled over and looked at me, and his eyes were so like Susanna's, I reached out my hand and covered them. "Sometimes it hurts to look at you," I said. I loved that I could say that, and he knew exactly what I meant. "Close your eyes," he told me. I did, and he came up close so we were face to face, and I could feel his crest breath warm on my cheek. We wrapped our legs around each other. I was overcome with this sudden need to keep him close to me always. "Do you think it will always be like this?" I asked him.
"How else would it be?"
he asked. We fell asleep that way. Like kids. Totally innocent. We could never go back to that. How could we? It was all tainted now. Everything from March to now, it was tainted. Chapter 7. When I woke up the next morning, my eyes were so puffy they were practically swollen shut. I splashed cold water on my face, but it didn't really help. I brushed my teeth, and then I went back to bed. I'd wake up and hear people moving out of the dorms, and then I'd just fall back to sleep. I should have been packing, but all I wanted to do was sleep. I slept all day. I woke up again when it was dark out, and I didn't turn on the lights. I just lay in bed until I fell asleep again. It was late afternoon the next day when I finally got up. When I say got up, I mean sat up. I finally sat up in my bed. I was thirsty. I felt wrung dry from all the crying. This propelled me to actually get out of bed and walk the 5 feet over to the mini-fridge and take one of the bottled waters Jillian had left behind. Looking across the room at her empty bed and empty walls made me feel even more depressed. Last night I wanted to be alone. Today I thought I would go out of my mind if I didn't talk to another person. I went down the hall to Annika's room. The first thing she said when she saw me was, "What's wrong?" I sat on her bed and hugged her pillow to my chest. I had come to her wanting to talk, wanting to get it out, but now it was hard to say the words. I felt ashamed of him and for him. All my friends loved Jeremiah. They thought he was practically perfect. I knew that as soon as I told Annika, all of that would be gone. This would be real. For some reason, I still wanted to protect him. Is what happened? I'd really thought I was done crying, but a few tears leaked out anyway. I went ahead and said it. Jeremiah cheated on me. Annika sank onto the bed. "Shut the front door," she breathed. "When? With who?" "With Lacey Barone. That girl and his sister sorority, during spring break, when we were broken up." She nodded, taking this in. "I'm so mad at him," I said, "for hooking up with another girl and then not telling me all this time. Not telling is the same as lying. I feel so stupid." Annika handed me the box of tissues on her desk. "Girl, you let yourself feel whatever you need to feel," she said. I blew my nose. "I feel... like maybe I don't know him like I thought I did. I feel like I can't trust him ever again." "Keeping a secret like that from the person you love is probably the worst part," Annika said. "You don't think the actual cheating is the worst part?" "No, I mean, yeah, that is horrible, but he should have just told you. It was turning it into a secret that gave it power." I was silent. I had a secret, too. I hadn't told anyone, not even Annika or Taylor. I had told myself that it was because it wasn't important, and then I had put it out of my mind. the past couple of years. I sometimes pulled out a memory I had of Conrad and looked at it, admired it, sort of in the same way I looked at my old shell collection. There was pleasure in just touching each shell, the ridges, the cool smoothness. Even after Jeremiah and I started dating, every once in a while, sitting in class or waiting for the bus or trying to fall asleep, I would pull out an old memory. The first time I ever beat him in a swimming race. The time he taught me how to dance. The way he used to wet down his hair in the mornings. But there was one memory in particular. One I didn't let myself touch. It wasn't allowed. Chapter 8. It was the day after Christmas. My mother had gone on a week-long trip to Turkey, a trip she'd had to postpone twice. Once when Susanna's cancer came out of remission, and then again after Susanna died. My father was with his girlfriend Linda's family in Washington, D.C. Stephen was on a ski trip with some friends from school. Jeremiah and Mr. Fisher were visiting relatives in New York. And me? I was at home, watching A Christmas Story on TV for the third time. I had on my Christmas pajamas, the ones Susanna had sent me a couple of years back. They were red flannel PJs with a jaunty mistletoe print, and they were way too long in the leg. Part of the fun of wearing them was rolling up the sleeves and ankles. I had just finished my dinner, a frozen pepperoni pizza and the rest of the sugar cookies a student had baked for my mother. I was starting to feel like Kevin in Home Alone. 8 o'clock on a Saturday night, and I was dancing around the living room to Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, feeling sorry for myself. My fall semester grades had been eh. My whole family was gone. I was eating frozen pizza alone. And when Stephen saw me that first day back home, the first thing out of his mouth was, "Wow, freshman 15, huh?" I had punched him in the arm, and he said he was kidding, but he wasn't kidding. I had gained 10 pounds in 4 months. I guessed eating hot wings and ramen and Domino's pizza at 4 in the morning with the boys will do that to a girl. But so what? The freshman 15 was a rite of passage. I went to the downstairs bathroom and slapped my cheeks like Kevin does in the movie. "So what?" I yelled. I wasn't going to let it get me down. Suddenly, I had an idea. I ran upstairs and started throwing things into my backpack. The novel my mom had bought me for Christmas. Leggings. Thick socks. Why should I be at home alone when I could be at my favorite place in the world? 15 minutes later, after I rinsed off my dinner dishes and turned off all the lights, I was in Stephen's car. His car was nicer than mine, and what he didn't know wouldn't hurt him. Besides, that was what he got for bringing up the freshman 15. I was heading to Cousins, rocking out to Please Come Home for Christmas, the Bon Jovi version, of course, and snacking on chocolate-covered pretzels with red and green sprinkles, another gift from my mother. I knew I had made the right decision. I would be at the Cousins' house in no time. I would light a fire. I would make some hot chocolate to go with my pretzels. I would wake up in the morning to a winter beach. Of course, I loved the beach during the summer more, but the winter beach held its own special kind of charm for me. I decided I wouldn't tell anyone I'd gone. When everyone came back from their trips, it would be my little secret. I did make it to Cousins in no time. The highway had been pretty much deserted, and I practically flew there. As I pulled into the driveway, I let out a big whoop. It was good to be back. This was my first time at the house in over a year. I found the spare set of keys, right where they always were, under the loose floorboard on the deck. I felt giddy as I stepped inside and turned on the lights. The house was freezing cold, and it was a lot harder to get a fire going than I thought it would be. I gave up pretty quickly, and I made myself hot chocolate while I waited for the heat to get working. Then I brought down a bunch of blankets from the linen closet.